And now it's time for your daily pet talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Something without warning, love bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and it is time for the Garden Line, so I apologize for the technical difficulties with our host, Mike Wiggins, who is the expert on gardening and landscaping and all things flowers and plants and lawns, and he's the best.
I was sitting here saying, I've got to do this solo for one solid hour. I could do it.
You could.
It wouldn't be very interesting.
Oh, that's not true.
But I could probably do it.
That's not true, yeah. Every once in a while, you know, you're counting on technology, and every once in a while,
well,
a little...
It lets you down.
And I swear it wasn't operator error this time, which is...
Oh, no.
Which
no,
is
no,
good.
No. It was one plug over there.
One plug that was unplugged, so
unplugged,
to speak.
Exactly.
Yes. Watch out.
Well, good morning, everybody. And good morning, Meg.
Yes, and this week we've been preempted the last couple of weeks with our president having speeches at this time. So we're going to, I think, get a whole hour of gardening tips and things like that. So if you have a question for Mike, maybe you've been holding on to it for a couple of weeks, please text it in this morning at 850-437-1620. It's fall. We're in the midst of changes and getting ready for
the
winter.
We
so
are.
Lots on the list.
Lots on the list this morning. And it looks like we're going to get a little bit even cooler by the end of the week.
Yeah, 60s maybe.
In the 60s, but maybe in the low 60s.
Yes.
Which really kind of triggers a lot of things that we probably want to do gardening-wise. And we'll talk about that today. And you may have some questions about, what do I do now?
What's next?
You know, what do I do before we really do get into some cold weather and things start going dormant? But we, you know... Can talk about that. And
okay.
That'll be fun. A couple of things I did want to talk about. Well, let me back up. My electricity went off this weekend.
Oh, you and a couple of other people have told me that.
For almost 5 hours.
Wow.
But what that did was made me go through the house in the dark and find all of the flashlights that I have ready for a potential hurricane.
Right.
Out of my hurricane box.
Mm-hmm.
Half of them didn't work.
Oh, so, of course.
So,
batteries
but
are
I've
dead.
Got all the batteries filled up. So now I'm ready. Mm-hmm. And the reason I even mention that is we do need to continue to watch the tropics insofar as gardening is concerned. We all have things out in our yard that we enjoy, but you know, you get a big one in here, we've got to make some changes and bring our pot plants in. Our hanging baskets, take care of all of those, all our tools, all the things that we all know as Pensacolians, what we have to do to get ready for a storm.
Well, I have to say, so far, so good.
Unbelievable.
I've never seen this since I've lived here, I don't
think.
All
big storms are heading up north, you know, and not even going on the East Coast. It's just been amazing.
Yay.
There's a little spot down off the Yucatan that I saw on the news this morning, but it looks like that may just...
I think it's going up towards Texas,
Going up, maybe even not that.
Yeah.
Maybe into Central America. So, in any event, we're doing good. But be ready, especially as gardeners, we've got to be ready for anything. So,
all right. Well, we've already got some questions for you, if you're ready.
Very good.
Got your answer the questions hat on?
I've got it. Let's go.
Put that hat on, because here we go. So, this one's from Vicki. She says, is it too late in the season to plant a crepe myrtle?
Oh, no. Oh, absolutely not. A couple of things to think about. One, if the crepe myrtle is in a container, in other words, it's been grown in a big black plastic pot, you could almost do that any time of the year. If you wanted to find the ideal time of the year, you would do it when that crepe myrtle is dormant, mm-hmm. when it has no leaves on it whatsoever. Oh, let's say even January and February. That way you can almost be assured that that plant, that tree, it won't go through any kind of plant shock. But as we just said, even our nighttime temperatures are starting to get a little bit lower. I think you'd be just fine planting that tree right now. Now plant it right, obviously. If it's been in that big plastic container, you may want to loosen the roots if they've kind of grown round and round inside that pot. Also, use a little organic material when you plant it. There's some debate in the industry whether that's necessary or not. I always thought in our sandy soil, a little organic material that would hold moisture would help with that plant recovering as you plant it into a new place.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, go ahead and do that. Keep in mind, crepe myrtle likes the sun. It likes full sun. What you don't want to do is to plant that crepe myrtle and then prune it way down. I wouldn't prune it at all.
Oh.
I would just put it in the ground, let it adjust, and then the next season it'll put on new growth in the next growing season, next spring and summer, then kind of prune it back next year. But that's what I would do as far as the crepe myrtle is concerned. I think you're pretty safe doing it right now, but as I said, if you really wanted to be super safe, you would wait till it was dormant.
Okay, very good. Yeah, thank you so much, Vicki, for that question.
Great question.
And it is the Garden Line on Pep Talk this morning. If you have a question or comment, 850-437-1620. Already time to take a break, but we'll be back in just a few minutes with Mike Wiggins and the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Good morning. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins. And we got a follow-up question from Vicki, who was asking about whether now is a good time to plant a crepe myrtle. And her follow-up question was, you were talking about organic material, Mike. She says, what's a good organic material?
The best is Canadian sphagnum peat moss. Now, that's what it says. It comes out of Canada. They have a big bog that's up there, and they dig that stuff and put it in bales. And you can buy it. We used to buy truckloads of that stuff. It comes in a small bale, like a 2-cubic-foot bale. That's easy to handle for somebody who's really doing a lot of gardening and wants to add organic material, just say to the soil, say for a vegetable garden.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy a 4-cubic-foot bale or a 6-cubic-foot bale. But it is a great organic material, and it truly is organic. There's no toxic chemicals in it whatsoever. But that's what I would use, Canadian sphagnum peat moss.
Okay, very good.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you for that, and thanks for the follow-up question, Vicki. Got another one coming in. Let's see. It says I have a large flat yard that doesn't have anything resembling grass in it except old traces of Bermuda from the 60s. I do, however, have a very heavy, thick Bermuda growing through cracks in my driveway and all around the edges of the yard. If I keep it cut very low, will the Bermuda take over?
Bermuda grass is probably not going to go anywhere. That is such a strong, has wiry roots to it,
mm-hmm.
a very strong grass. Bermuda grass, as we talk about the various turf grasses in Pensacola, it's always in the list. St. Augustine, centipede, zoysia, and Bermuda. But Bermuda grass is a golf course grass.
I was just going to say, you've mentioned that before.
It's a golf course
so
grass
thick.
That takes very specialized care.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to use your rotary mower. You want to use a good blade mower to see if you can cut it low. It needs to be cut very low. And even at that, very high maintenance, a different type of lawnmower, a lot of nitrogen, a lot of fertilizer. Quite frankly, as a lawn, you really don't want to make that choice. There's some much better choices of turf grass from Pensacola. Because isn't it funny that he's got Bermuda grass in his lawn, but the best Bermuda grass he's got is growing up in cracks in the driveway.
I relate to that.
Well, I can too.
Growing not where I want it to grow.
So what do you do about the Bermuda and the cracks in the driveway?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you use what we call a non-selective herbicide, like a Roundup, and you can spray it, and it'll kill the Bermuda. So I would not add to the Bermuda grass if I was putting in a new lawn. In other words, you can seed it, but there are various varieties of Bermuda grass also. Some are better than others. But I would kind of steer clear of the Bermuda grass if I could. if I was going to seed any kind of grass for a turf, I would go ahead and use centipede seed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're going to do centipede seed, this is absolutely not the time to do it. You want to do it in the spring, usually late spring, like May, when that the turf has warmed up. So it's not good for now. If you want to do any seeding now, just to give you some color, winter ryegrass is probably the best choice you can make. It's an annual, mm-hmm. which means it'll come up very quickly. If you water it enough, as I've said before, Meg, it'll come up in that parking lot out there if you put enough water on it. But it'll give you color over the winter. You have to mow it. That's the one big disadvantage. But it will die back in the spring when it gets warmer. Then if you wanted to do centipede seed, that would be the time to do it as an alternative to the Bermuda grass. So that's kind of my take on Bermuda. I really don't recommend it. I do have a friend, though. I do have a good friend who has a Bermuda lawn. I bet he put that Bermuda lawn in 20 years ago.
Wow.
Maybe more, maybe 30 years ago. And to this day, it looks great.
Hmm.
But he knows how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to mow it. He knows how to fertilize it. And it really has held up. Full blaring sun is what that would need. But I don't think most of us would like to go to all that trouble for Bermuda grass. I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Dan, for that question. I hope that was a good answer for you.
Hope so.
And Vicki followed up one more time. Could you please repeat the name of that stuff?
Canadian. All right, ready? Canadian.
Okay, Vicki, hang on. Get your pen out. We'll give you a second. Get pen and paper. Here you go.
You know one thing I didn't think about.
What's that?
What? I wonder how the tariffs have affected
Ooh.
Canadian sphagnum peat moss.
Oh, how do you spell sphagnum?
Come on, Meg.
Well, I can make an assumption, but I'm not gonna.
S-P-A-G-N-U-M.
Okay, how it sounds.
That's close.
Okay.
That's close.
So Canadian sphagnum peat moss.
Most of you, I tell you what, my buddy Larry out at Pensacola Seed and Garden can steer you right to the pile of Canadian sphagnum peat moss.
Okay.
But yes, it really is a great, you need to keep it around all the time. If you're going to put in, say, a planting of annuals.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, say we're going to put in pansies for the fall.
Right.
Okay, and you've cleaned out the old spring stuff that's gone, summer stuff, and it's just bare dirt. Take that Canadian sphagnum peat moss, put about, an inch, maybe even 2 inches over the area where you're going to plant the pansies or whatever. Turn it under, and so you mix it up with the sand that's there, and your annuals will do much better if you do that. You need it for almost everything you plant simply because we have no soil in Pensacola. You know, we always say we have no soil, all we have is sand. And so this helps.
Would you use that in a potted plant?
Well, yes and no. You can if you're going to mix up your own soil for the potted plant.
Mm-hmm.
Usually your good quality potting soils are going to suffice for anything you're going to plant in a container.
Gotcha. Okay.
But if you're planting in the yard, yeah.
All right. Well, here we go. Great questions. And if you've got a question, plenty of time. We'll be here till 10 on the Garden Line at 850-437-1620. Going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Mike Wiggins, our expert, right here on Pep Talk. Good morning. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins as our host. And you had the research department look up.
I had the research department check on how to spell sphagnum.
Okay. See, you were making fun of me.
Well, you can make fun of me because I misspelled it.
Oh.
Are you ready? S P H A G U M.
Ooh.
Where did the H come from?
I have no idea. That's very strange.
I don't know. Maybe that is Canadian. Maybe I don't know because it all comes. It's a native of Canada.
Interesting. So spell it one more time.
S P H A G U M.
Interesting.
Sphagnum.
Okay. Sphagnum.
I don't know, but you get the drift.
Right,
I think.
You get the
but
idea.
Like I said, go see my buddy Larry, and he'll, I don't know if he can spell it, but he'll show you where it is.
Okay. Okay, that's all you need to do.
Exactly.
The Canadian peat moss stuff.
Exactly.
That's what you
exactly.
That's what you tell Larry.
Exactly.
Okay, I've got a couple of questions it looks like regarding sodding. We might have to hold this one because we've only got a couple minutes here. So we'll get back to, this is a long question, so we'll get back to you right after the news break. We've got a couple more minutes before that. So did you want to mention anything this morning that you have on your, I know Mike always comes in with a list of things to talk about.
Well, what I want to talk about may take a little bit longer too, but I'm going to make this kind of quick. And this is a question for you, Mick. What is the one thing that really affects the health of trees negatively?
Ooh.
What could make your tree die?
Hmm.
Okay. I'm going to answer it because we're out of time here.
Yes. Okay.
Is weed eaters.
Really?
Weed eaters. And I'm glad we had the Craig Myrtle question a minute ago. But what happens is people, obviously, right now are kind of getting their lawns looking nice for the fall. And you get that weed eater, and you weed eat all the grass that's growing around your trees.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it look really nice and
right.
neat. But if you get that weed eater too close to the tree, you can damage it by... It damages what they call the cambium layer, which is a layer of cells between the bark and the tree,
mm-hmm.
which carries nutrients up into the tree. Now, the scientists out there are probably laughing when that's probably the wrong explanation. But the big deal is if it cuts that cambium layer, that keeps all of the nutrients from going up into the tree, and the tree can die. The symptom is called girdling. And it's what you just don't want to do. So what do you do to not have that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you need to put a little bed around the tree. It doesn't have to be too big, and then mulch it. That way you're not tempted to get that weed eater close to the trunk of that tree.
Right.
Because that really can kill a tree. And so you don't want to do that. So what do you put around there? Pine straw is good. Pine bark is good. Cypress mulch is good. All of those are great. So when we come back, I do have one more thing to add to that, but be so careful with that weed eater.
Okay, great advice and some great questions this morning. We're going to be back right after the news, so text your questions in at 850-437-1620. We'll be back with the Garden Line on Pep Talk right here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg and the Garden Line with our host, Mike Wiggins. And we were just talking before the break about killing things with your weed eater. And we did get a text that says, I killed my unkillable. And it looks like calamansi citrus.
Citrus.
Right. By weed eating too close, I could not figure out what happened to it for a long time. So there you go. That's probably the answer.
Exactly. And one thing we might add to that, if you do have a wound on a tree,
mm-hmm.
you know, like with the weed eater, or really if you have cut off a limb, way in the past, people used a plant wound dressing, a tar, if you will, to put over the wound. You don't want to do that.
Okay.
You just don't want to use that product. You need to let the tree, if you do have that tree wound, if you will, or like I say, even if you've cut off a limb, to let it heal itself.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to add something, put anything over it.
Okay.
That would be the wrong thing to do.
Okay, good advice. All right, we have Deborah on the line. Good morning, Deborah. Can you hear us okay?
Hi. Yes, ma'am.
You said you had a couple of questions for Mike this morning.
Okay, my canna lilies, they have these little, you know, black things that come on it. It's quit blooming, and they have these little black pods that are on there. Can I take those off, or do I need to leave them?
You can take those off. That would be a...
Oh, okay. And
sure.
Can I cut the plant back so that it, you know, because it's right now it's quit blooming.
Yeah, you know what I would do? I would let it go.
What?
I would let it go for a while.
Okay.
You may want to cut
All
it
right.
back. You may want to cut it back as we get further along in the fall or even into the winter, and then cut it back.
Well, what time?
Because
I don't want to.
No,
I don't
want to
kill my canna lily.
No. But a canna lily comes from a bulb. And even though, and a lot of things, let's say, I'm looking at tulips as just an example, probably not a very good example, but if you have a bulb and it's quit blooming but still has foliage, that foliage is still feeding that bulb. So you really don't want to cut it back. What's going to happen is the wintertime is going to knock it back anyway. And when that happens, then you can clean it up. But for now, I wouldn't cut back that foliage because that is probably making that canna lily healthier for next year.
Okay, yeah, it went gangbusters. Now, what? Quick question about agapanthus. My leaves are kind of scraggly. Do I just let them go too?
I've got the same situation. I love that plant. That's Lily of the Nile. And exactly. Yes, what I do is let it go. I don't do any pruning on it at all, except...
Now, what if I have to prune it back from the wall because of insurance? You know, they don't. The insurance companies don't want your foliage touching clean.
That's true. I don't think the agapanthus is going to mess up the foundation of the house. But what I would do, if you can, wait till it starts. We have a freeze, if you will. You're going to think that agapanthus is dead. It's going to knock all those leaves back, the whole plant's back. Then you can kind of do a little pruning, clean it up, and it'll come back next spring. That's what I would do.
Yeah, well, I usually cover my agapanthus during a freeze because they're tropical plants.
Yeah, that's true. I don't cover mine. I just let them die back in the winter and then clean them up, and then they come back every year. It's a great plant.
Oh,
now, of course.
I covered them up during the snow.
Good for you. Now, keep in mind that with an agapanthus, with that spiked, with the blue bloom on top.
It's a white bloom.
White, yep, they come in white, absolutely. Whenever that bloom has had it, then you can cut that back anytime. But insofar as cutting the whole plant back, I would sort of wait.
Okay.
Oh, okay, until about the first cold snap?
Sure. Should we get a good freeze? You know, who knows what the weather's going to do?
I mean,
what these hurricanes are doing is baffling.
Well,
exactly what's
happening
there.
Thank God we've been spared thus far.
Yes, ma'am.
You are so right. So right. This is highly unusual, but it's only October, and we've had some big storms in October before. So stay vigilant.
I remember Opal.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you.
Opal. Thank you, Deborah. Thanks for listening to Pep Talk and the Garden Line. We appreciate
you. Thank you, Deborah. Good talking to you.
All right. You too.
This is Pep Talk and the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. Got a couple of more questions have come in, Mike. One of them is about sodding. He says, or he or she says, we had a tree contractor take down some trees in our yard. Needless to say, the grass was ruined where the forklift was, I guess, or the lift that they used, which was done a couple of weeks ago when we had the drought. When is the best time of year to lay centipede sod for it to take? Also, second part of the question, our neighbors have stopped treating their yard and it's become mostly weeds, which are now growing over into our yard. So what do I do? Would you recommend a nature area between the two lots be a good barrier to keep the weeds from coming into our yard?
Yeah, I think that's a good solution.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it is. You know, unless you could, you know, have a nice discussion with your neighbor about
being the operative word.
Nice, you know, insofar as weed control is concerned and all of that. But if that's not practical, a little natural area would be good. Now, keep in mind, just because you have a natural area doesn't mean you're not going to have any weeds. But in a natural area, you can use some of your non-selective weed control to take care of the weeds. Roundup, in other words.
Right.
Whereas you can't do that if you are trying to grow sod.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a bad solution if you can't come to some agreement with your neighbor.
Right. Okay, and then the first part was about the centipede sod.
Yes. I don't think you'd have any trouble sodding with some centipede right now. Now, I wouldn't wait too long. I like to sod when the grass is green.
Mm-hmm.
You try to sod in January, the sod is dormant, and you may be okay. But this way, you can tell the quality of the sod, whether it's weed-free, and all of that. But you bring up a good point, the person who texted.
Mm-hmm.
If you do have tree surgeons or contractors or what have you doing work in your yard, you know, they would probably enjoy a nice conversation about protecting your lawn. lay down some plywood for whenever the equipment comes across it, come around the corner somehow and come in the back way. Because you're right. So many times that equipment can damage the lawn. And also what it can do, some of that heavy equipment, can damage your existing trees that you're not trying to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, the drip line of those trees, the roots, if you will, go way out. And you start driving heavy equipment over that, you can damage those good trees. So talk to your contractors. So many of the tree surgeons here in Pensacola are so professional. They're so good at what they do that I'm sure they would talk to you about where to bring the equipment in and how to avoid damage.
Okay, great questions coming in this morning on the text line. We still have time for more at 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk, The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. We'll be back right after the break. This is the Garden Line. Okay, we're on the air now. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins and Meg. As you can tell, we're having a side conversation here all about how what I was saying, so I'll share with the listeners, is he is so knowledgeable and I'm so impressed. We need to tell him and vote for him to write a book encyclopedia of gardening, according to Mike Wiggins, because he is amazing. And we were laughing because he said, well, that's just common sense. I said, right, for you. For someone like me that doesn't know the difference between this and that,
we could write a book.
There's
no question about it. Now, you got to keep in mind that Pensacola really has unique gardening needs.
True.
I mean, what will do well here may not do well in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
May not do that great in Tallahassee. Sure, ain't going to work in Montgomery. So, if we wrote a book, we might be able to sell maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6.
Oh, stop it.
I don't think that would work.
I don't believe it for a second.
I don't think that
would
work.
All right. We're going to move on to lots of questions coming in. We so appreciate y'all sending these questions in. This one says, morning all, what's a good way to kill jasmine vines? I've tried all the different, all the kills, formulas and stuff. You follow the directions, but doesn't seem to even phase it! !
No, and that's exactly right. That jasmine, once you got it, it's hard to get rid of it. I think manual labor is what you're going to have to do, and that may involve some real heavy manual labor, shovels, and eventually till that area up. Those are very strong roots. Now, I assume you've tried Roundup on it. I would imagine the Roundup will not work.
That's what the person said, that they'd already tried all that stuff.
And here's why that Roundup won't work, and a lot of people don't realize this about Roundup. Roundup really will work great on grassy weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Say you got a big patch of crabgrass. It'll work great on that. But anything with a woody stem, like jasmine, it's just not going to work that well. So you really have to resort to some type of manual labor, digging it up, tilling the area. But still, on a lot of those plants that have such strong root systems, you can till it up and rake it out and dig it up all day long, but eventually you're probably going to get some of it to come back.
Wow.
Very frustrating.
Mm.
But that's a great question, and I don't have a good answer other than getting a shovel and a tiller and that type of thing.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
And working on it, which is hard work.
Mm. Okay. Well, thank you for sending that in. Got another question for you, Mike. What is best to put on my azalea bushes that seem to be full of mildew?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I would use a fungicide on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy liquid fungicide. I'll tell you one that would work well. You find a lot of products for roses.
Oh.
And one of the big problems with roses is what we call powdery mildew.
Mm-hmm.
It's white. Looks like baby powder.
I think I've seen that too.
Yeah, exactly. So if you find a rose fungicide or powdery mildew, that would work fine on your azaleas. There's no doubt about that. Exactly. Watch out for your moisture on those azaleas. That may be part of the cause of the mildew that you're getting. One thing we do for roses, and that may not be practical for your azaleas, is try not to water the foliage too much. Just do your watering down below.
At the base?
At the base.
Interesting. Because I'm thinking it's been such a heavy drought. It's interesting that a mildew is a problem.
That's the truth, isn't it?
But yeah.
Mother Nature's funny sometimes. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But that's what I would do. I would buy that fungicide, mix it up in a sprayer, spray it. Don't let it rain afterwards. Do it when it's not going to rain. And then repeat it. I'd repeat it in about 10 days and do it again. And one other thing you might consider is this time of year, we're getting almost to the end of this, is a little fertilization just to make your azalea plant healthier. And this time of year, we do it half strength. We normally, for azaleas, do a tight handful for every foot of height.
Mm-hmm.
In the fall, we do half strength, a tight handful for every 2 feet of height, or half a tight handful for every foot of height.
See, this is what I'm talking about that needs to be in the book.
I don't know why I said that. That's silly.
No, that's great.
But really, you do it half strength in the fall. We're getting a little late because what you don't want to do is to over-fertilize your plants this time of year, because what they will do, especially if it has a lot of nitrogen in it, it'll do just what it's supposed to do. It'll make new growth come out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got that beautiful new growth. And then we get down to 15 degrees, and all that new growth is going to be damaged.
Mm.
So you don't want to promote too much that new growth. One final thing. If you have not fertilized your lawn with winterizer, and it's getting a little late for that, and you're going to do it, that would be a great fertilizer to throw on those azalea plants.
Oh, okay.
And that would make the roots stronger, but yet it wouldn't give you a lot of new growth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'd go.
Okay, very good. Got one more question for you. When is the best time to cut blueberry bushes and how?
Blueberry bushes need to be pruned right after harvest. That's the best time to do it. But also, you can fertilize them a little bit as we get into the fall. So you've kind of got two periods there when you can fertilize blueberries.
Mm-hmm.
You want to fertilize them with a good fruit tree fertilizer. They're an acid-loving plant. So you do not want to use lime on it. You don't want to do that. But you want something that's going to help with the growth of the blueberry, which is an acid-loving plant. So that's what I would do.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right. And let's see. We do have another one, which I've squeezed this one in here during this time period. What is the best time of the year to spread sand in the grass when it's getting thin?
I am so glad you asked that. You know, I'm not a big fan of that.
Okay.
In some small areas, yeah, go ahead and put some sand, some white builder sand will work. Don't go to the beach and get some sand. You'll end up in jail.
Good point.
And we love our listeners too much. But we'll bail you out if you need to. But
yeah, we'll deny it. I heard it on the garden line.
Yeah, Wiggins said go dig up the sand at the beach. White builder sand is the way to do it. Very thin, put it out if you have to, so the grass that is there is peeking through the sand.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just make a big, heavy layer of it. But sometimes I'm not sure that really helps. The thing to do, of course, is to be sure that the grass, the reason it's thinned out, it maybe need a little aeration. That might be good to get kind of air, you know, with the little spikes, if you will, or just with a shovel, you know, if it's not that big an area. But, yes, try the sand, but I'm not that optimistic about how it's going to work. But you can buy that builder sand in probably a 20-pound bag. Don't call your local sand guy and say, send a pickup truck of sand. And a lot of people used to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They'd get get the red clay and do it all over their yard and end up with half a truckload. What do you do with it?
Right.
So, anyway, that's something that not many people do anymore.
Okay, great questions coming into the text line on Pep Talk this morning. This is The Garden Line. We'll be back right after the break with Mike Wiggins. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk. Just a few minutes left, and we still have questions rolling in, Mike. So, been a busy morning. One of the questions here is, can you recommend a place that sells quality topsoil for lawns? The bag topsoil from the large retail stores, the quality's not that great. A lot of times it's full of tree bark and not a lot of actual soil.
Right, and the reason I hesitate here is I don't know why you would want a huge amount of topsoil for your lawn. We normally don't do that,
mm-hmm.
put topsoil on our lawns. We do everything else right.
Right.
We water it. We fertilize it. We take care of the insects. We mow it high. But to put topsoil on there, I don't think I would do that. But if you need some type of supplier for that, I think I would call Beth Bowles at the Escambia County Extension Service and ask her, here in Escambia County, who could she send you to buy a large amount of topsoil. I will agree that some of the bag stuff you buy is quality-wise is not good.
Okay.
And I totally agree with that. But if you're going to get some type of quality topsoil, I think you may have to kind of get agricultural, and maybe Beth can send you to somebody that can do that.
Okay. We've got about 30 seconds to answer this last question.
30 seconds?
Yes, sir. When and what to kill off chamber bitter?
Don't forget to use pre-emergence weed control November 15th. Use atrazine. That will help keep it from coming back.
Okay, very good. Great questions, y'all. So appreciative of all of our listeners texting in and calling into the text line and to the garden line this morning. Mike Wiggins, you're the best. So knowledgeable.
No, Meg, you're the best.
No, you're the best.
You're the best.
And you can rehear this broadcast Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock right here on News Radio 92.3. And you can go to the podcast online on our website at 92.3, newsradio923.com. We'll be back after the news.